Matthew chapter 9, we'll read verse 2 and take that for our text this morning. The word cheer simply is defined to be glad, to take courage, and to be happy. And no matter what you're going through this morning, you can have cheer. You can be glad, you can take courage, and you can be happy. Even though you don't know what's going to go on tomorrow, or what's going to happen next week, or what's going to happen the rest of this day, we can take courage, we can be happy, and we can be glad. We can have cheer, because Jesus is with us. Amen? And he said in chapter 9, and we'll just read verses 1 and 2, and Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want to use that as the text. Won't read to you the rest of the scriptures that I'll be using today, but I want to use that for a text this morning. Be of good cheer. And we have a lot of things to be happy about. And we know that Jesus in His Word, if you have a red letter edition, you'll find that the words that were recorded there are written in red. That means Jesus said it. And if He said it once, that's all that has to happen. If He said it once, it's set in stone. But you'll find that on four different occasions, Jesus said this phrase, be of good cheer. And I think if we look at those four separate occasions this morning, we'll find that no matter what we're facing, every one of us are facing one of these circumstances, or have gone through it, or will go through it. And I guarantee we can find peace this morning and be of good cheer knowing that Jesus is with us. First of all, you'll find in our text that we can have good cheer because He's promised us that He can pardon us. He can pardon us. You'll find this scripture also in the book of Mark, a very familiar passage of scripture. Billy Huddleston preached on this the last time he was here about Jesus being in the house, and it was noised that he was in the house, and people came to hear him preach. They couldn't fit another person in, kind of like we felt on Monday and Tuesday night down there at the Smoky Mountain camp meeting, just capacity crowds, and couldn't fit another person in. That's the way it was when Jesus was there and he was in the house. And the Bible says that there was a man sick of the palsy, and he had no hope. The paralysis that he had rendered him hopeless and rendered him helpless. But thank God he had four men and four friends that were willing to carry him to Jesus in order to be healed. And as Billy was preaching on that, just as a side note, I'll get back to my message here in just a second. But as a side note, I was thinking about this passage when Billy was preaching, and I jotted something down I never really thought about before, but the Lord showed me sitting over there. This was like these men were pallbearers carrying a casket to a funeral. Because you'll find that when they got to the top of the roof, they made a hole and lowered this man down to where Jesus was. And as I begin to think about it, it's kind of like some of us this morning. These men were burden bearers, were they not? They were burden bearers, but they found a place where they could bury their burdens, and when they buried them, they laid them at the feet of Jesus. So this morning, if you're carrying, that's good preaching. I may preach on that one of these days. But thank God, hallelujah, if you're carrying a burden today, the best thing for you to do is bury it and place it at Jesus' feet. And so the Bible says that they did that. And because of their faith, the Bible says that Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And the Bible says that he did exactly what Jesus told him. But you'll notice that he said something very important. He said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Because listen, tonight man's greatest need is not for someone to be healed. Man's greatest need is for someone to be saved and for you to be saved. Remember what the angel told Mary. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their... Wake up this morning, we're in church. He shall save his people from their sins. The reason why Jesus came into this world, of course, to set at liberty them that are bruised and them that are captive and to heal. But the main reason why he came in your Bible, it says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You won't find that in the NIV or some other version, but you'll find it in the King James. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And just like palsy, sin this morning renders us hopeless and powerless and helpless. But thank God we have a Savior that we can go to that not only can heal us of our infirmities, but most of all, He can speak cheer into your life and say, listen, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven and there's pardon available. There's forgiveness available. A 16-year-old girl and a 12-year-old girl was a passenger in the car that the 16-year-old was driving, and the rows were wet, and she ran into an electric pole, and the electric pole broke in half, and the pole came down on top of the car, and it was a terrible accident, and it came down on the 12-year-old side, and she ended up brain dead, and they had to take her to the hospital. And as they were there in the hospital, the family had to make the very critical decision of turning off life support. And the chaplain was there with the people at the hospital. And as they were there with the family, the 16-year-old girl came into the hospital to visit. And as she was there, of course, she just had a few scratches and a few bruises. And she was so upset and so because she felt it was her fault. And as she went to the chaplain was there to comfort her and give her words of encouragement as well. And she said, from this day forward, I will take the place of their daughter. I will be there to help them. I will be there to care for them. Whatever their daughter did, I will do my best to be there for them. And the chaplain looked at her and said, honey, I appreciate your feelings and your sentiments today. But listen, you'll never be able to take the place of their daughter. It doesn't matter what you do, it'll never take the place. Said, really, what you need to do is pray for forgiveness from that family. And listen, why do we this morning try to do everything we can to win God's forgiveness when all we need to do is pray for forgiveness? There's nothing that we can do on our own merit and our own power. From now to return, there's nothing that we can do in order to merit salvation. But we don't have to. The only thing we have to do is pray for forgiveness. And the Bible says that when we do those things, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful today? It's amazing to me that if we set up obstacle courses and tell people if you make it to the end and you make it safe, you'll be saved and on your way to heaven, there'll be people lining up to go through the obstacle course to be sure that they make it to heaven. But you don't have to do all that this morning. The price has already been paid. The blood has already been applied. All you got to do is ask and you shall receive. We make it way too difficult. Cal Ray mentioned the man that was saved this week down at the Smoky Mountain Camp. His name is Wayne Haslip. He goes to a Chapel of Hope there in Greenfield, Ohio, where my cousin Randy is the pastor. And he, of course, every service he raised his hand. We've been in revivals. Cal Ray's preached up there this past February with me, and every service he raised his hand under conviction. But just a couple of weeks ago, the Lord, in His divine providence, His grandson was hanging his head out the window of a car. And something happened. Either his knee was on the weight of the power window button, but he got caught in that window and he stopped breathing and turned blue. And by the time that his grandpa Wayne got there, he was blue and wasn't breathing, and so he had to perform CPR. And as he was performing CPR, he called out to God and said, Lord, spare my grandson, spare my grandson. And he told us later, he said, I was a sinner. I don't know if God heard me or not, but He spared my grandson. And so there on Wednesday night at the camp meeting, the power of God came. It was there in the 6 o'clock service when Cal Way was preaching, and the Lord just anointed Mike Wayne to preach. And here Wayne comes down the altar and comes down to pray. And we were standing there in front of him. Of course, everyone from the church there that was there with him that week were rejoicing. And he was down there praying. He leaned over to Mike and he said, I don't know how to pray. And Mike said, well, you prayed for your grandson, didn't you? He said, pray just like that. You prayed out of desperation. You knew how to pray. You don't have to worry about what to say. You don't have to worry about what to say. It's how you feel on the inside. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And if you mean it, thank God, He'll do the work. He has the power. He's promised us to forgive us. And I have never, ever, ever gotten over the fact that I'm saved. You say, Brian, how can I be forgiven? You have faith to believe that God can save you. You repent of your sin. That means you don't stay in it. You forsake it. And then you confess your sin. And if you do those things, my friend, you'll walk out of here a new creature in Christ Jesus. Forgiven! 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 Forgiven. Death has been paid. He's promised us pardon. And then if you go forward a few chapters also in the book of Matthew and in the book of Mark, you don't have to follow there with me, but you'll know the passage of Scripture. Jesus says, time to go to the other side. And He constrained His disciples to get into the ship. And the Bible says when they got in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, about 3.5 miles out, there arose a great tempest. And the Bible says they were toiling and rowing. And I got to thinking about this the other day. Do you realize they were rowing and toiling for probably 8 to 10 hours? Because when Jesus appeared in the midst of the sea, it was early, early morning. That means all night long they were trying to make it through the storm themselves. And how many of us, when we get in the middle of a storm, will just spend our time rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing and we'll never get, they never left the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Because everywhere they went, the wind was contrary. That means it beat against them. If they turned to the left, the wind was there. If they turned to the right, the wind was there. And listen, sometimes God orders us a storm to face. God brought them into this storm. He constrained them to get into the ship. And even though He knew the storm was coming, He still said, set sail. But you'll remember what He said. Let's go to the other side. Because listen, if God says we're going to make it to the other side, you will make it to the other side no matter what storm you go through. But listen, there are two types of storms that God sends. Sometimes He sends a storm of correction, just like He did with Jonah. That storm that He sends of correction gets us to turn around and face the facts that we need Him. Just like Jonah, God sent a storm to turn him around, but also He sends storms of perfection. That means He sends storms in our way to help us to grow, to help us rely upon Him. And that's the way He was with these disciples. So here they were trying to do it themselves. I'm sure they were wore out. I'm sure all of them tried their best to get through the storm. But just as they were getting ready to give up, I'm glad the Bible says that Jesus was on the shore and He saw them in the midst of the sea, toiling and rowing. In the deepest, darkest part of night, He still saw them in the midst of a storm. And thank God the Bible says that what caused them to fear, He was able to use as a vehicle to get to where they were. And here He comes walking on the midst of the sea upon the water, and He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. How many of you have ever been to the point where you felt like giving up? And you tried to row and toil in the midst of the sea. And you felt like there was no way to get out. But just in time, the Bible says, just in time in your life, you begin to pray. And just when you thought all hope was gone, Jesus comes walking in the midst of your problems and in the midst of your storm. And He whispers those words to you, be not afraid, be of good cheer. It is I, aren't you glad He's still the eye of the storm this morning? There's perfect peace in the eye of the storm. You can see right through the midst of the storm in the eye. Thank God He is the eye of the storm this morning. He's promised us presence. Be of good cheer at His eye. Be not afraid. But then, thirdly, you'll notice He's promised us power. John 16:33, Jesus praying to His disciples, giving them words of encouragement and also giving them words of reality. Because He said, you're going to face terrible things after I'm gone. And after I'm gone, you're going to face persecution and tribulation. He said, and in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. Aren't you glad this morning? Yes, it's going to get tougher, folks. It's going to get tougher. And you'll find that you'll either be overcome or you'll be an overcomer. That's exactly the way it's going to be. You'll be overcome or you'll be an overcomer. But I'm thankful this morning I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. I don't have to be so enamored with what the future's going to hold. No, I can rest in the fact that when I get to that point when I need Him, I can overcome. I can have power. Why? Because He promised me we will face persecution and tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Aren't you glad this morning? There is power in His name. There's power available. We just have to use it. 1987 on New Year's Day, it's an American tradition, I guess, the Tournament of Roses parade in the Rose Bowl. But something happened very interesting. The parade got held up. One of the floats ran out of gas. And he said, "Well, that's funny, but what are you telling us that?" Well, the funny thing was, the float was the Standard Oil Company. With all of their resources, they didn't take advantage of it. They had more power to fuel that vehicle than anybody in the entire world, but they forgot to use the power that they had. Hey. You'll face things this week and you'll think, how am I going to get through it? Hello, hello. We have the greatest power known to man in all the world. That's the power of the name of Jesus. So don't sit there. Use the power of His name. It's available. It's available. The promise of His power. The promise of His presence. The promise of pardon. But then finally you'll notice the promise of His protection. Paul, in the book of Acts, went to Jerusalem. He reached out to Jerusalem. He reached out in the temple and it caused a riot. He reached out to the Sanhedrin, but it caused confusion. They got so mad at him that they said, "We will not eat or drink until he's dead." They determined to do anything that they could to kill Paul. This is the one that killed Christians, and now, basically, he's flip-flopping now. He's telling them that we should love Christians and love the Lord. And they wanted to kill him. But Acts 23:11 says, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. He said, Paul, you went to Jerusalem and you did what I told you to do in Jerusalem, but now you're going to Rome. But what he was saying was, Paul, you have to go to Rome, but listen, don't worry. I will be there for you. I will protect you. I will be, no matter what you face, I will be there. Aren't you thankful this morning that no matter where the Lord sends us, He will never leave us or forsake us. He will be with us. He promises us protection no matter what we face in this world. No matter what we face. And if that was the only scripture we had to tell us of God's protection, then it would be fine. All He has to do is tell us. But all throughout scripture, the Bible gives us great encouragement to the fact that no matter what we face, He said He'll be there with us. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Woo! But the ungodly are not so, for they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor the sinners with the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, and which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade on thy right. The Lord is thy shade on thy right. Thank God the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He'll deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wages at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 by right hand, but it shall not come thy ear. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is the Most High, even thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid. Woo! Thou shalt not be afraid of the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. Shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will deliver him and be with him in trouble. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hey, be of good cheer. We have protection from the Lord God Almighty.
Hallelujah. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I laid me down and slept and awake, for the Lord sustained me. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I love that. That means think about it. Selah. Woo, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have gathered themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. I like this. For thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Think about that. Hey, listen. We have protection this morning, no matter what Satan throws at you. Be of good cheer. God's power's there. Woo! That's all I know. I'm working on 24. I'm working on 24. I about got it. Thank God. Who is this King of glory? Lord, strong and mighty. I feel Him this morning, don't you? Hallelujah. I'm done, but I can't quit. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. The Lord is there. He only had to say it once, but thank God. In every storm, for every sin, for every time, Lord, we need shelter. And every time we need His power, He said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. What do you need the God to do for you today? If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, what in the world are you waiting on? He is here. He has been here. You're miserable. You're miserable. Might as well face it. It ain't going to get better until you get saved. How can I live it? I can't live it. No, you can't live it. In the state you're in now, you can't. That's why you need God. There comes a point in your life when you just got to say, by faith, I believe the Lord can help me. You'd be surprised. We worry about what's going to happen when we get home. We worry about what our friends and family is going to think. We worry about situations that we're trying to see what people try to do when they're lost is they start feeling guilty and under conviction. So they try to mend all the loose ends in their life first. They try to start laying down habits like drinking and smoking and doing all the trying to think, but that'll work them into getting saved. Because you got to be good in order to come to God. No. You got it all. The devil just says, because you'll work the rest of your life and you'll never be saved. But if you come now and bring him all that junk, bring him your life and your sin, you'd be surprised in a matter of seconds. God can just take all that and turn it around. I've heard of people in this church that they didn't know what their coworker was going to think, if they would make fun of them or laugh at them. And they went to work the next day and people noticed the change and they were happy for them and congratulated them. God can change the hearts of the people that you live with and that you work with. Most of all, He can change you. So be of good cheer. The answer is here.